This is Taking Aim with
Rob Schoen, man.
And Maya Schoen. Michael, and folks, we're hearing music and I can't hear myself. This is Taking Aim with
Rob Schoen, man.
And Maya Schoen, coming to you over WBAI on May 18th, 2004 for the special Fund Drive special. We're here in Vallejo, California, and we're glad to be with all of you in the tri-state region of New York and those of you listening via the Internet on www.wbai.org. We have prepared something really special for you for this fun drive. We have a two-CD package based upon riveting presentations that Ralph and I did at the 9/11 inquiry, the first phase, not the 9/11 commission hearings, the cover-up taking place in Washington that you are listening to today, but a people's inquiry that had its first phase in San Francisco and will have its next phase in Toronto and then will be coming to New York. The presentations were made Saturday, March 27, 2004. Mine concerned the links between the bombings in Madrid and prior U.S. intelligence operations, particularly in Italy. And Ralph continued on with more of the underlying politics of 9/11, putting it all together as no one else but Ralph Schoenman can. That two-CD package with incredible sound quality is called The Pattern of State Terror, From 9/11 to Madrid. And it's 160 minutes, two full CDs, and for your $100 contribution to WBAI, The Pattern of State Terror from 9/11 to Madrid will be sent to you. We've prepared a little bonus package, too. For a $150 contribution, we will send as our gift The Pattern of State Terror from 9/11 to Madrid, plus a special program, The Technique of Infamy, the 9/11 Commission cover-up, which are Ralph's comments on the 9/11 Commission hearings in a show he did with KPFA's Guns and Butter producer Bonnie Faulkner. It's an excellent analysis of the Commission hearings, and it's a program you won't want to miss. So The Pattern of State Terror plus The Technique of Infamy, yours for a $150 contribution to WBAI. Remember, it's your contributions that keep Taking Aim in your home, broadcasting to you week by week. The number to call, 212-209-2952. As well, remember, there's the regular WBAI membership for $50 and $25 for students, seniors, and those of you also with low income. So please tell your friends, your family, your colleagues that they should be listening in today. From 5 to 6, we'll be on our regular Taking Aim time. Then there's the news, and we'll be back again from 7 to 9. Once again, 212-209-2952. All of our loyal listeners, you know the number, and you also know how wonderful it is to have the premiums.
That's, Maya, that's 209-2950.
Oh, 2950. I'm sorry.
That's quite all right. That's all.
Okay.
Thanks for that, Michael.
You're welcome.
I want to emphasize here, brothers and sisters, that what we document is the false flag nature of 9/11 itself. When we analyze the hearings, cover-up hearings, which are basically intended to constitute themselves as a propaganda mill, a bully platform for terrorizing our people yet once again. If you listen closely, for example, to the hearings today, every single person testifying was speaking about the inevitable next attacks. That has been the theme almost constantly in all the major media of communication since last December. An inevitable next attack prior to the elections cancellation of the elections, the imposition of martial law. A drumbeat from December to this present day, nonstop, USA Today, MSNBC, Newsweek, New York Times, Washington Post, Los Angeles Times, Newsday. Every time you pick up your newspaper, you'll see another such reference.
And
what we do is to expose what underlies this attempt to terrorize the American people, what 9/11 itself represents.
As those of you who listened in December when we did Testing the Waters, Military Rule in America, and were fortunate enough to get that as a WBAI premium, know, we've been stating that this is the ongoing terror attacks here in the United States have been on the agenda by the U.S. rulers for quite some time. 212-209-2950. Once again, that's the pattern of state terror from 9/11 to Madrid. Remember, Madrid is not off the charts. They're bringing it here at home. And what does it mean? How did it come about? And what are the links between what took place in Madrid and the U.S. intelligence forces? The pattern of state terror from 9/11 to Madrid, a 2-CD package for $100 contribution to WBAI, and also for your additional contribution, an extra $50, $150 contribution to WBAI, your station. Remember, this is listener-sponsored station. We have a bonus for you, which is the Technique of Infamy, the 9/11 Commission cover-up, a one-hour program, one-hour CD that you've never heard. 212-209-2950. Those of you out of the New York region, remember, this is the one long-distance call that you're going to want to make. 212-209-2950. We're going to start off with an excerpt from Ralph's presentation at this 9/11 inquiry, and then we'll be back with you.
What I want to talk about tonight, in brief, is 9/11 and the crisis of imperialism. In the Communist Manifesto, 1848, Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels wrote, "Modern industry has established a world market subject to capitalist control. The bourgeoisie has at last, since the establishment of modern industry in a world market, cornered for itself exclusive political sway. The executive of the modern state is but a committee for managing the common affairs of the whole bourgeoisie." And they state, "They have resolved all personal worth into exchange, and in place of the numberless, indefeasible chartered freedoms, they have set their single, unconscionable freedom, free trade, in a word, exploitation, veiled by religious and political illusion. It is substitute naked, shameless, direct, and brutal exploitation." We have a structure of power in this society, rather like that described in the Communist Manifesto. The New York Times confirms now that 1% of our population owns and controls some 90% of the national wealth. And as you know, we have about 5% of the population of the globe within our national frontiers. So 1% controlling 5% with hegemony over 70% of the natural resources of the planet have an imperium by any criterion and by any definition. Very shortly ago, in the New York Times on February 8th, Richard Goodwin wrote an article called "Making the Facts Fit the Case for War." And he begins this article as follows. In 1846, President James Polk announced that Mexican troops had fired on American soldiers on American soil. And he took the country to war that gained it, California, New Mexico, and Arizona. Was the disputed soil story true? No. Did Polk distort the information? Almost certainly. He wanted a territory, and he needed a war to get it. And then Goodwin describes his own experience in 1961 at the age of 28, fresh, as he said, to the Kennedy White House when he climbed to the upper reaches of the State Department, as he describes it, for a high-level meeting to discuss the planned invasion of Cuba. Almost every top official involved in the operation was there. Richard Bissell, a legendary figure of Cold War intelligence, the man responsible for the U-2 spy planes, assured us that U.S. forces had established themselves and there would be an uprising against Castro. Rather tentatively, I asked Bissell how he had reached this conclusion, and he turned to a general sitting behind him and said rather casually, "We have an NIE on that, don't we?" A classified national intelligence estimate, and the general nodded. In fact, Gruden says, no such intelligence estimate existed. And the article continues with a paradigm of the ways in which the Imperium conducts its affairs. Now, many of us have been accused, as you know, of pandering to what is called conspiracy theory when we attempt to discuss the evidence about the structure of power and the nature of such events as 9/11. It's somewhat paradoxical in that virtually at every juridical level, city, county, state, federal, the most commonly deployed judicial device is that of conspiracy. Every prosecutorial adventure, conspiracy to defraud, conspiracy to do this and that, the only conspiracy, as it were, in which they have no interest is that of our rulers. Now, it is true that history is not driven by conspiracy, but it is certainly the case that our tiny oligarchical ruling class conducts its affairs in a conspiratorial manner. Remember the Maine? They blew up a ship in Havana Harbor to provide the pretext for seizing Cuba and then the Philippines in the first major genocide of the 20th century that cost 3 million Filipino lives. The sinking of the Lusitania, which was the casus belli for World War I, as the book by Colin Simpson amply documents, was an event organized and contrived by the United States and Great Britain, signaling the whereabouts of the Lusitania to German U-boats and preparing for the sinking of that ship as the opportunity and the pretext for entering into World War I, where the United States asserted its challenge to imperial domain on the part of its capitalist rivals for their colonial reach in Africa, Latin America, and Asia. Every major imperial war and adventure has proceeded on the basis of such contrivances, such lies, such pretexts, with the hands of the intelligence agencies of the day all over each and every operation. It goes for Pearl Harbor. It's the characteristic mode through which the Korean War was unleashed, with special forces, as I.F. Stone documented in his book, The Hidden History of the Korean War, following their course into North Korea until they elicited the response they intended to provide them with the opportunity on the aegis of the United Nations to invade Korea with a devastation unparalleled up to that time. The Vietnam War itself, on the basis of the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution, as we all know, a contrivance. The United States ship was not attacked in the Gulf of Tonkin, although certainly the North Vietnamese would have had every right to have done so. But no such event occurred. And that is the pattern. Now, we have heard tonight about something called Operation Northwoods. I think we should take a moment to look at that. Because in 1962, the decision had been made to create the circumstances for an invasion of Cuba. And so a document was prepared in the National Security Council, and the person who organized that, as was mentioned, is Lyman Limnitzer, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. Every single member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff signed off on that document. Look at Operation Northwoods. It describes the expected hijacking of airplanes and crashing of them into buildings, the assassination of U.S. citizens in Miami and in Washington, D.C., the expected explosion of the rocket carrying John Glenn, astronaut. Every one of these events to be imputed to the Cuban Revolution to create a hysteria and a climate of numbed acquiescence in the intended invasion. It went up to the Kennedy brothers, who had in mind their undertakings in Indochina, and stated, according to McNamara, that the hand of U.S. intelligence was too clear in these proposals, and they asked for an alternative, and they got one. And the alternative that was given to them was to send in special forces dressed as soldiers in Cuban uniforms to attack Guantanamo. Now, the Kennedy brothers deferred on that, and the assassination of John F. Kennedy flowed not too long afterwards. What we're looking at here is a pattern of pretext and of lies, the false operations, the false flag operations that define all the major adventures and, in fact, inform the basic changes in understanding of how shifts occur within the ruling class when they fight over the spoils. We must have the Chinese market or we shall have a revolution, stated Senator Frye, the senator from Maine, in 1881. Samoa and the Hawaiian Islands are the first stage of American expansion en route to Asia, said Cabot Lodge in 1895. And McKinley, the Lord has said that the United States has the duty of educating and elevating the Philippines into Christian civilization, and by the grace of God to do all that we can for our brother nation, for whom Christ also died. And in the next breath he adds, the Philippines are ours forever, and right behind them is the immense Chinese market, and we shall not leave either one. Woodrow Wilson, Herbert Hoover, Franklin Roosevelt, Vernon Jordan, the head of the National Industrial Board, for Franklin Roosevelt declaring that the United States has set its foot on the path of an imperial reach that cannot stop until it has conquered every available market and subdued all potential rivals, subordinating them to American power and American capital. This is the constant, the theme, the expression of an imperium in rapidly advancing crisis, because there has never been a solution on the part of capital to the Great Depression of the 30s, the inexorable cycle. Indeed, at the height of the New Deal, there was an equivalent rate of unemployment as there had been during the time of Herbert Hoover. Indeed, if you look carefully at the statistics of employed and unemployed, the percentages that were employed in the arms industry at the time of the height of unemployment were equivalent to what became the percentages of unemployment after the mad rush for arms began. And this economy became addicted to arms like an addict needs his fix in an ever-increasing doses. Waste production. Capitalism driven to destroy, constantly to cannibalize the infrastructure of a society, and in the process to pauperize the many, both here and overseas, and to pit working people against each other in a mad race to the bottom. That is the underlying dynamic of corporate capital today, and all of their adventures are designed to sustain this process, to mask it, to whipsaw us into numbed acquiescence in order to permit the ever-increasing devastation that follows from a system in terminal decay. This is a crisis of a capitalist order incapable of meeting the most elementary needs of human beings in any part of the world. And in our understanding of such events as those of 9/11, I suggest that we must locate these adventures and these crimes within a structure of power that requires them. It is not a question of one particular politician or another, or even that of an administration, because there is a continuity in the national security apparatus that goes with each successive band of politicians and the two big property parties with one name, that define the monopoly of control that the capitalists maintain over the political process in this society. With that 1% controlling 90% of the wealth, they subsidize and monopolize the political process itself. The former head of Avis and American Express, Robert Townsend, calculated in his book Up the Organization that there are but 5,000 people control what he called the commanding heights, of the capitalist economy. So with the necessary pretexts that go for sustaining their wars of predation come such events as 9/11.
to Madrid. It's part of our two CD set for your $100 contribution to WBAI, and you would telephone 212-209-2950. For a bonus with a $150 contribution, we will send you The Pattern of State Terror from 9/11 to Madrid, plus a one-hour program, The Technique of Infamy, the 9/11 Commission cover-up, Ralph's comments on the 9/11 Commission hearings, produced by KPFA's Guns and Butter producer Bonnie Faulkner. Now, Ralph, this is just the beginning of the presentation. In it, you go into quite a bit of detail.
Well, actually, yes, this is attempting to set the class structure and the real context for the 9/11 events. When we talk about false flag operations, brothers and sisters, we're describing the fiction that is fed to us to cover the tracks of the gang of criminals who wage permanent war for exploitation, for rapine of resources, for subjugating entire populations to penurial conditions. Consider that in Iraq, an industrialized society, people are now earning less than 25 cents a day as the United States ravages this country and steals its oil. That's what imperialism is about, and that's why events like 9/11 are necessary to sustain such a degenerate system. They terrorize our people, and these talks that we give are the particular documentation of how that comes down. What is the evidence? What are the facts? What is the pattern that emerges? What do we do about it as well? We urge you to support this kind of broadcasting and make it possible for us to continue to bring both this information and this analysis to a wide audience. Please call 212-209-2950. Contribute, brothers and sisters. Buy the CDs, have the information at your fingertips, and by so doing, sustain Taking Aim, Free Speech Radio, WBAI, and the ability to speak truth to power.
And if you can, a larger contribution is appreciated, particularly if anyone is interested in making a matching contribution for Taking Aim. We would love to meet your match during the 3 hours that we're on today. The Pattern of State Terror from 9/11 to Madrid. Two CDs, $100 contribution or more, and you can have more than one set also. And for $150 contribution, you get The Pattern of State Terror plus the bonus of The Technique of Infamy. Now, Michael Moore has just come out with his Fahrenheit 9/11, where I think he's pointing the finger at the Saudis. But as you know, ever since we've been on 9/11, we point the finger where it belongs, with U.S. intelligence agencies and the various forms of the U.S. rulers. And, Ralph?
Well, actually, Maya, I think you're very much on point here, brothers and sisters, and we go into that in the talks that we gave. We did two shows on Taking Aim. One was called Setting Up the Saudis, and the other was called Taking Out the Saudis. This little tiny oligarchy of imperial rulers and feudal rulers, I should say, in Saudi Arabia, this royal feudal clique in Saudi Arabia, wouldn't break wind without consulting the Central Intelligence Agency. To think that this tiny little bunch of people who preside over oil as pass-through operatives for flight capital going to the United States would act against the U.S. on their own on their own behalf is so ludicrous and so entirely out of keeping with the abundant evidence that it can only be a second line of defense, a way in which they attempt to take the heat off those responsible in the United States for preparing these events by pointing the finger to subaltern others. We document that. Our talks are about that. Our programming is about that. We ask you to sustain this kind of broadcasting, to obtain this information, to see the meticulous care with which we document it and the analysis that flows from it.
You know, Ralph, I looked over the programming we've been doing, which we have been on the air since December 28th, 2001. We have produced over 120 shows, 120 shows analyzing the events unfolding in the Middle East, in the United States, in Europe, in Africa, and particularly pointing the finger, as Ralph said, connecting the dots, stripping away the veneer, the falsifications, the dissimulation of the U.S. ruling class and its imperial design throughout the world, and the assault on every one of us, on our living standards, on our liberties, and that is what Taking Aim is about. And it's unique. It's unique in that we are so direct, and we spell it out. And we spell it out in a way that you, too, can articulate what is happening and can speak to those around you and organize, because that is the main purpose. And that is why Ralph is so much involved in the Million Worker March, and that is why we ask you to go out each and every time to the courtroom to support Lynn Stewart in her defense against the prosecution of Attorney General John Ashcroft. This is a seminal trial, and that is why we also say to you occasionally to contribute to WBAI. Without WBAI, you wouldn't be hearing this analysis. 212-209-2950. Now get those phones ringing. We can hear little ding-a-lings even here in California, and we want to have a solid bank. Remember, people come in, they're standing by the phones, and we want to keep them all busy.
I want to mention this. Lynn Stewart is a heroic figure. Lynn Stewart is our lawyer. She is defending each and every one of us. Lynn Stewart is the lawyer for the blind Egyptian cleric who is the fall guy for the U.S. intelligence operation of the 1993 bombing. We have been programming, we have been documenting how the FBI operative Imad Ali Salem carried forth those plans into the mosque of the Egyptian cleric, who Lynn Stewart has defended, both in New Jersey and in Brooklyn, soliciting young men to come to meetings where this FBI operative on behalf of the FBI laid out plans for the bombing of the World Trade Center, for the blowing up of the Brooklyn Bridge, for the destruction of the Holland Tunnel and the Lincoln Tunnel and the Statue of Liberty, the so-called Landmarks Plot. In these very hearings today, 9/11 hearings, brothers and sisters, you hear these professional liars leaking on about how the inevitable next terror attack is already in preparation and how the same al-Qaeda forces are preparing it. It is Lynn Stewart who has been defending the victim, the falsely accused blind Egyptian cleric, and because she has had the courage to stand up for the truth and to defend the innocent and to point the finger where it belongs, she herself is facing decades in prison. Talk about a totalitarian response to the elementary right of a defendant to have his day in court. Lynn Stewart, the defender, is herself targeted for reprisals and repression. Defend her, brothers and sisters. This programming is about that. Maya made an important reference just now.
Before that, Ralph, I want to tell people how they can defend Lynn Stewart. Jury selection starts May 19th. Your participation in the court during all the pretrial motions and during the jury selections does make a difference. And if you go to her website, www.lynnstewart, and that's spelled LynnStewart.org, you will find instructions of how to get to the courtroom. Ralph.
Yes. Please.
Before you go on, I want to remind you, please call WBAI 212-209-2950. The pattern of state terror from 9/11 to Madrid is filled with documentation. You're going to hear portions of it this week and next week during our three-hour special. But make sure, get in at the beginning, give your contribution. For a $100 contribution, the pattern of state terror from 9/11 to Madrid. For a $150 contribution, we add the bonus program, The Technique of Infamy, the 9/11 Commission Cover-Up. 212-209-2950. Ralph, you have something to say before we go back to the CD?
Well, Maya, in documenting what occurred in Madrid, we showed the precise pattern. Here you have the roommate of Mohammed Atta, supposedly, accused of the crimes of the bombings in Madrid. Supposedly, the 9/11 event itself was organized in Tarragona, Spain. But what we document in our programming on this is the hands of U.S. intelligence, the very operatives who were engaged in the bombings of the World Trade Center, now assigned to Madrid. We show precisely the physical evidence for this, the record of intelligence handling of these individuals, the hand of the Central Intelligence Agency itself. Miami made reference to the Million Worker March, the Longshore Workers, Local 10, in San Francisco, with its long history of militant struggle, has issued a summons in the tradition of Martin Luther King's call for a march on Washington 36 years ago for our people to mobilize, a working people's agenda, a million people in Washington on October 16th. I'm chair of publicity. This is about the fight back. This station is about the fight back. Pacifica Radio is about the fight back. Speaking Truth to Power is about the fight back. That's why you must sustain this opportunity to hear the evidence and to be informed about how we can mobilize in our own name and to struggle against the inevitable assaults that we can expect in the future. We are promised they will dwarf those that have already occurred. Get ready for them, brothers and sisters. Sustain this programming. Support the Million Worker March. Contact us about it. We have trade union locals, trade union federations, mass organizations across the United States, from the Teamsters to the communications workers to AFSCME to SEIU. Brothers and sisters, this is serious. The fight back is beginning on our own agenda, with our own political thrust. We are mobilizing. We are on the move. This radio station is an integral part of that. Pacific radio stations have endorsed this march. We ask you to endorse Free Speech Radio and taking aim. Call 212-209-2950 with your contribution.
You know, we take WBAI for granted, and I was visiting my mother last week in a community that is not reached by any of the Pacifica stations and where there isn't a community radio station. And even my mother kept saying there was nothing that she can listen to when, you know, there's the classical music station, but when it came to news and it came to commentary, there was a vacuum on the dial. Now, there will be a vacuum in the tri-state region of New York if we don't keep WBAI on the air. And it's not just in New York. People listen internationally to WBAI. It has made its mark throughout the planet. 212-209-2950, and our gift to you are these important programs, The Pattern of State Terror from 9/11 to Madrid. And for your $100 contribution, we have the bonus of the Technique of Infamy, the 9/11 Commission cover-up. Well?
From Bangkok, Kuala Lumpur, to Tehran, to Bergen in Oslo, Norway, to Havana, Cuba, we have listeners to Taking Aim and to WBAI through the miracles of the Internet. We are reaching out, people. We are reaching out to our brothers and sisters. Do the same. Reach out to us. Taking Aim to WBAI, sustain the programming, please.
You know, when it comes to money, it was 4 days, only 4 days after the events of 9/11 on September 15th, 2001. My goodness, we're getting to 3 years ago, that Congress, except for the lone dissenter of Barbara Lee, handed over $40 billion to President Bush with the authority to use, quote, all necessary and appropriate force against those allegedly involved in the attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. Within those 3 years, the bill is now up to $200 billion, $200 billion that goes into the coffers of Lockheed Martin and Boeing and DynCorp and Halliburton, you know, subsidiary Kellogg Brown and Root. And to all the oil companies, because after all, who supplies the oil to the military but all the oil companies? To the Titan Company, yes, that runs the torture centers throughout Iraq. So $200 billion, and then there's the assault on workers, the assault on our health care, the assault on our living standards, and necessarily the assault on our civil liberties. 212-209-2950. Speaking Truth to Power. That's what Taking Aim is about, and we know you appreciate it, and you can. This is the moment to show your appreciation to WBAI for making Taking Aim possible. The Pattern of State Terror from 9/11 to Madrid, 2-CD package, and for a $150 contribution, the bonus of the Technique of Infamy, the 9/11 Commission hearing. Now, we're going to skip the middle of Ralph's presentation. We'll come back to it at another time. But, you know, sometimes we start at the beginning, we go to the end, and then some of you think that you can just cut and paste and you'll have the program. But this time we're mixing and matching, and that way you have to have the CDs to have the full show.
We do that, brothers and sisters, because we don't want to...
We're serious about keeping WBOR moving and shaking.
We don't want to deprive you, and we certainly don't want to deceive you, believe me. But we do want to entice you to support WBAI and Taking AIM and Free Speech Radio by calling in your contribution for these CDs and for supporting Free Speech Radio and Taking AIM by so doing.
212-209-2950. So many people call me and tell me, I tape every one of the Taking AIM shows, but one day I happen to not be there. Well, folks, this is your moment. All of you who every week tape Taking AIM and tape other WBAI shows, and this is your moment to say, I am truly a supporter. 212-209-2950, and wonderful Michael G. is going to play the end portion, the last portion of Ralph's marvelous presentation that got a rousing standing ovation.
But what I'd like to do in the moments that are remaining in running down the underlying dynamics of such events as 9/11 is to describe what has been presented to us on an extraordinarily intensive scale in recent weeks. An article by Nicholas Kristof in the New York Times that a nuclear attack on New York is inevitable and inexorable. Suitcase nukes. Anthony Kimmery, again in the Washington Post, the same thesis. William Safire, once again in the New York Times, it's not a question of if, but when. In the aftermath of Madrid, it's not just Debka. Sir John Stevens, the head of the police in London, and Ken Livingstone, the mayor of London, a left socialist mayor, I should mention, have stated that a massive attack on the scale of Madrid is inevitable in London, and not only in London, because New York is next. USA Today, Los Angeles Times, Newsweek, Newsday, Time Magazine, and now in the March edition of Atlantic Monthly, The Atlantic, an article called Armageddon, not only projects the inexorable mass attack that we have to face, the black wind it's called, it's going to be a biological attack, but it gives a particularly interesting account of how long the authorities have been in preparation for this inevitable event. Since the 1980s, Armageddon describes in the Atlantic for March, two point men have coordinated a group of national security officers every year with a series of preparations in underground bunkers to establish a government that will run the society after the inevitable attack. Interestingly enough, since the 1980s, the two people who were the coordinators of this, according to the documentation in Atlantic, are Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld. It is a well-structured military operation linked to Operation Garden Plot, the militarization of the police, and I should mention keyed as well to the series of articles that appeared at the end of last year in December in Cigar Aficionado with Tommy Franks. It is inevitable there will be a major attack, and it will require the suspension of the Constitution and the imposition of military rule in the United States. Maya mentioned William Rothkopf's article in the Washington Post that the cancellation of the elections in 2004 is inevitable. William Arkin, the same theme in the Los Angeles Times. And in Time Magazine, it's all one war now. The article concludes as follows. The Democratic and Republican conventions are the easy and expected targets, and they're located above train stations. Have you followed, brothers and sisters, the now official explanation for the massive bombings in Madrid? They are imputed to a man named Yarkas and another man named Zugan, part of not just an al-Qaeda network. Yarkas, we've been informed, was none other than a roommate of Mohammed Atta in Hamburg. And then El País, the leading newspaper in Madrid, informs us that the events of 9/11 themselves were prepared, organized, and quartered from the Spanish city of Tarragona by Mohammed Atta, Yarkas, and Zugam. At the time of 9/11, Mr. Yarkas and Mr. Zugam were detained, but they couldn't produce any evidence, and they were unwilling to present their own operatives who would show the hand of intelligence. And these two men were released, but monitored. Yes, El País makes clear. Well, after the bombings in Casablanca, would they detain Yarkas and Zugam? They were again released for lack of evidence, but they were monitored. They couldn't go out of their homes. They couldn't buy a hot dog without it being monitored. But these are clever folk. You know what they were able to do? They didn't use cell phones, as the official fiction has it, because the physical evidence doesn't compute. These explosives in these Madrid trains blew the floor up through the roof. These were charges that were put under the carriages of these trains at strategic points. 10 of them required access. Now, these gentlemen, monitored, were able to access the trains in their stations with the capacity to place the charges underneath the carriages of each of these trains. El País, which is the leading newspaper, has been orchestrating this, and in fact, on February 29th, ran a series of descriptions of the inevitable attacks that were to unfold in Madrid. The leading correspondent for El País is a figure who's associated with the Defense Intelligence Agency and with the Council on Foreign Relations. And a key owner of that newspaper is an associate of Mr. Peterson, who is the head of the Council on Foreign Relations. And as Nico Haupt, who has been present at these hearings in an extraordinarily useful article in the Portland Intermedia, documented, this is a figure who took out a mortgage on Building 7. You know, it collapsed without anything hitting it. The events of Madrid, the terror that unfolded in Madrid, its objective was not just the people of Spain. All of the powers that be anticipated that the response of the population to this wave of terror in Madrid would be panic and maintaining the Francoist regime in power with its troops in Iraq. 90% of the population of Spain are opposed to this war. They revolted in Spain. They may have picked a blunt instrument in the Social Democratic Party that was brought to office. But the Spanish masses revolted against the state terror intended to intimidate, to terrorize, to demobilize and demoralize. According to Time magazine, there was, quote, panic in Washington. So the European press now has been filled with the series of stories that this is only the little beginning in Madrid. And there is a report in Newsweek that in the National Security Agency, they've decided they're going to up the ante. They anticipate Well, with the next inevitable wave of bombings, as Debka has informed us, there are over 100,000 sleepers. 45,000 of them are in France. Intelligence agencies haven't been able to find one of them yet. But they're there. They're waiting to detonate the Eiffel Tower. They don't have their Guantanamo yet, says the National Security Agency in Europe. But with the next wave of attacks, we can expect a wave of repression that dwarfs the Patriot Act. That's the report. They want to up the ante. They are terrorizing our people. It is a system so decadent, a gangster clique that has command of the state apparatus, that it has nothing left to it but the state terror, of which 9/11 is a prime expression. A little over a week ago, Local 10 of the International Longshore Workers Union put out a call for a million worker march on Washington, remembering the Poor People's March of Martin Luther King. Close to the politicians of both parties, brothers and sisters, on an independent axis around a workers' agenda for a slashing of the military budget, for an end to the funding of the intelligence agencies, for universal health care in the United States, for an end to the cannibalizing of the infrastructure of our society, for affordable housing, for decent schools, for rebuilding our cities, for reclaiming our country. A call to working people to mobilize 1 million workers in Washington, D.C. next October. This is a very dangerous but precarious ruling class. As Maya said, they are a tiny handful of people. Robert Townsend calculated the actual numbers controlling the commanding heights, I say, at 5,000 people. We have a huge, vast, overwhelming majority of working people in this society at the point of production and in every walk of life, whose labor produces everything of value in our society, who are proposing to mobilize. Because every generation is confronted by the same challenge. It is not the evil that is new, nor is it the crisis that has changed. Since the Communist Manifesto in 1848, we have confronted the same rapacious structure of power, addicted to war, requiring ever more intensive and rapacious exploitation, responsible for the pauperization of the overwhelming mass of humanity, incapable of addressing the most elementary needs of human beings in this or in any other society, pitting us against each other with the sweatshopization of labor across the world, with Disney and Kmart paying 8 cents to 21 cents an hour in suffering Haiti, 25 cents a day in Iraq. Once an industrial society, devastated. It is a question here, quite simply, of mobilizing a political challenge to this ruling class. We can't influence them. We can't impress them. We can't reform them. We can't contain them. What we have to do, brothers and sisters, is to overthrow them.
You've been listening to Ralph Schoenman's presentation. This is the conclusion of his presentations at the 9/11 Commission here at 9/11 Inquiry, first phase that took place in San Francisco March 27, 2004. It is part of our two CD package, our gift to you for your $100 contribution to WBAI, The Pattern of State Terror from 9/11 to Madrid. It includes a presentation by Ralph on the underlying politics of 9/11, a presentation by me, Maya Schoen, It's All One War Now, and an extensive question and answer period. That's a two CD, full 160 minutes for $100 contribution to WBAI. For a bonus with a $150 contribution, we add The Technique of Infamy, the 9/11 Commission cover-up, comments by Ralph Schoenman. Now, the number to call is 212-209-2950. Later on, there'll be online contributions, but right now, we're asking you to telephone 212-209-2950. And while you're going to your phone, I want to let you know that this Saturday, May 22nd, there are two events going on, one on the East Coast, and for those of you listening on the Internet here in the Bay Area, one on the West Coast. On the East Coast, Saturday, May 22nd, at the Riverside Church, known to all of you WBAI listeners, the Riverside Church, the 9/11 Truth Movement is going to have an event, Stop the 9/11 Cover-Up, and it's an event with Ellen Mariani, who refused the $1 million hush money, and her attorney, Phil Berg, and they are suing the Bush administration in a RICO lawsuit charging foreknowledge and the failure to act. Now, Ellen Mariani lost her husband in the attack on the World Trade Center. Joining them is a journalist, Sander Hicks, and also Scott Ritter, the former Iraq weapons inspector who dared to challenge the agenda for the military conquest of Iraq. So that's this Saturday, May 22nd, at the Riverside Church at 7 p.m. And for more information, you can go to www.ny911truth.org. Here on the West Coast, Saturday, May 22nd, is the kickoff rally for the Million Worker March, and Danny Glover is going to be speaking. He's one of the primary endorsers of the Million Worker March, known to WBAI listeners for both his wonderful acting and his activist positions. And Danny Glover will be there joining Chris Silvera, known to those Teamsters in the New York region, one of the active Teamsters in the New York region and the chair of the National Black Caucus of the Teamsters. So they'll be at the ILWU Local 10 Hiring Hall, which is a massive building in the Fisherman's Wharf area of San Francisco, this Saturday evening. And you can go to www.millionworkermarch.org for the specifics. Meanwhile, everybody should be ringing those phones, dialing 212-209-2950. We're here in California, but we still want to hear those phones ringing and ringing and ringing, knowing that you are supporting Taking AIM and WBAI. Ralph?
I want to mention, by the way, that our dear friend Gil Noble of the ABC television program Like It Is, and brothers and sisters, everyone who is loyal to WBAI and to Pacifica needs to keep close to your hearts Like It Is of Gil Noble on ABC TV for more than 35 years, carrying the torch for speaking truth to power as well. And Brother Gil Noble is going to play the video of the rally, of the Million Worker March, the kickoff rally, in which Danny Glover will be speaking. Chris Silvera, by the way, is Secretary Treasurer of Teamsters Local 808, right here in Long Island City. He got a standing ovation, did Brother Chris, when he made a presentation for the Million Worker March to the Teamsters Joint Council. This is building. You'll hear on this video not just Danny Glover and Chris Silvera, but Alexander Coburn. I'll be speaking. Frank Martin Del Campo, who is the president of the Labor Organization for Latin American Advancement, and Maria Guillen, the vice president of SEIU 790. Thank you, Maya. This is a major event.
Okay.
Support this kind of political struggle for which Taking Aim and Free Speech Radio and WBAI are your indispensable tools.
Well, while we're speaking about support, one of those dear to our to us and to WBAI listeners, Father Lawrence Lucas, is also an endorser of the Million Worker March, and as you know, is on the WBAI station local advisory board. And it's Father Lucas, who is an avid supporter, if he doesn't mind my saying so, of Taking Aim. And we're now asking you, each and every one of you, to show your support for Taking Aim. 212-209-2950.
Father Lucas of Our Lady of Lourdes in Harlem, behind and with and in the foreground and vanguard of every struggle for social justice in New York and in the larger area. He, Father Lucas is a vital supporter of Free Speech Radio, of WBAI, of Taking Aim, and of the struggle that we are all engaged in. And in his name, I ask you as well, support WBAI, support Taking Aim, support Free Speech Radio.
The Pattern of State Terror from 9/11 to Madrid, two CDs, 160 chock-full minutes, $100 contribution. It includes Ralph's meticulous presentation on the underlying politics of 9/11. Remember, this is not the same as a prior premium of the underlying politics. This is all new, put together in a different way, information, the pattern of state terror from 9/11 to Madrid. Two CDs, $100 contribution, and for your bonus with $150 contribution, the Technique of Infamy, the 9/11 Commission cover-up. 212-209-2950.
212-209-2950. U.S. News and World Report, May 24th, from the White House. A nightmare scenario is the headline. White House officials state they have a working premise about the presidential election and terrorism. It's going to happen to the top administration official, and an attack will happen leading up to the election. It will happen here. First is an attack on Washington, the Capitol, believed to have been the target of the 9/11 jet that crashed in Pennsylvania. Then smaller but more frequent attacks in Washington and other major cities leading up to the election. The administration is holding secret drills to make sure top officials know what to do. There was a sense of confusion after 9/11. Now we have a sense of order. Unclear is the political impact, but the Bushies, U.S. News and World Report continues, think the nation will rally around this president. I can tell you one thing, adds an official sternly, we won't be like Spain. See what they're telling us, brothers and sisters? Support the fight back. Speak truth to power. Get the evidence. These criminals are going to do it again.
All right, thank you, Ralph and Maya. Went over just a little bit. They'll be back with us here on WBAI in 1 hour's time, right after the WBAI Evening News, a special expanded edition of Taking Aim with Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen. It